You're listening to The Takeaway from WNYC and PRI Public Radio International in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
We are going to bring you updates from Cairo and the Middle East all morning long. But in the meantime, we wanted to bring you a domestic update. And no surprises here. The Republican repeal of the Health Care Act was expected to be defeated in the Senate. And it was. What exactly that means varies depending on what side of the aisle you sit on. We're joined now by Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick. Good morning, Todd.
Hi, Celeste. Good morning.
Certainly, if anyone thinks that the defeat of this in the Senate means that this repeal is going away, that's just not the case.
Oh, no. Republicans promised during the election to repeal, 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 and they're not going to let one little vote in the Senate stop them. That's for sure. This is coming back in lots of different ways. You're right. Nobody was surprised that the repeal effort was defeated in the Senate yesterday. But something that was kind of a surprise, you know, one thing we were watching for was how many moderate Democrats, vulnerable Democrats from red states like Missouri, potentially Virginia, Montana, places like that, would vote for repeal. Republicans think that this is a political winner, at least so far. So you're watching all these vulnerable Democrats like Jim Webb and John Tester out in Montana, Claire McCaskill in Missouri, these moderates who are going to need moderate and even a couple of Republican votes to stay in office in 2012. Would they vote with Republicans on repeal in the end? The answer was no, not a one. Party line vote 51-47. Democrats beat the Republicans, and that's the exact breakdown in the Senate. So everyone's stuck together, at least up to this point.
And that could account for the fact that even though this repeal did not failed to pass, obviously, if you listen to people like Texas Senator John Cornyn, the campaign chief of the Republicans, it sounds like this was a victory, not a defeat.
John Cornyn, like many members of the Senate, is extremely talented at spinning any situation to his advantage, especially in the campaign wing of the Republicans. The polls are telling Republicans that this is a political winner. And Celeste, I think they're going to keep up these efforts as long as the polls tell them that. The closer and closer we get to election time, however, is also the closer we get to more of the benefits of this bill coming online. So there's going to be a tension between this bill being unpopular and to about 50% of the public. It is, especially to Republican voters, but also on the positive side, things that consumers like in this bill, that kind of get insurance off your back. There's going to be
a
tension
there. Todd, let me interrupt you for just a second. Yeah. You're saying that the polls favor this repeal, but the last that I heard, the most recent poll showed that less than half of Americans now favor a repeal of the Health Care Act.
Very confusing poll situation. There are a couple of polls at the beginning of the month, at the beginning of December, hovering right around 46-48% favor repeal. There's a Rasmussen poll that came out just last week where that number was as high as 58 who either somewhat favor or absolutely favor repeal.
I'm telling you, Todd, this thing is ridiculous. I have problems with the Health Care Act, and we can talk about health care policy. It just seems to me this is like they already voted against the bill when it passed. They're just voting against it again. There's no sort of net impact of this on anyone. It's a complete waste of time.
The Republicans in the House have launched the second half of this, John, which they call Replace. So they are trying to be positive about this.
That's more the issue.
Yeah, but they don't actually have a proposal.
Shutting down the money.
They say they're going to replace it, but they haven't written a proposal.
They're in the process of writing it, and we know the outlines of some of what's going to be in there. Making it easier to buy insurance across state lines. Right now, insurance is governed by state statute, so you can't really, you know, it's difficult.
And that's part of the court challenge. The court challenges are real.
Yes, it is. Yeah. That's a smaller part of it, but letting you do that, giving people easier access to sort of low-cost, bare-bones insurance that covers you for the basics, but is cheaper to buy so that people have an easier way into the system, and the big one that Republicans want, which, by the way, Barack Obama opened the door to explicitly in State of the Union, is financial curbs on malpractice lawsuits on non-economic damages. So like a limit on punitive damages against doctors, cap those around $250,000 or less. Republicans have always said that would help lower healthcare costs.
It seems to me like the repeal, the defeat of this repeal yesterday was really just part of the 2012 campaign season.
It was part of the 2010 campaign season, fulfilling a promise, which the Democrats' main criticism of this is, you know, look, let's be honest, Mitch McConnell's just checking the box for the Tea Party. That's all he's doing. But Republicans think that their base and a big portion of the polling electorate is behind them. Look, they don't do these things because they think it's going to help them lose. They do it because they think it's going to help them win. And as long as the polls tell them it's a winner, they're going to keep doing it. Now, we are going to see more bites at this. You're right, Celeste, guys. This is not going away. Straight repeal votes may not keep coming up over and over, but there is. We've been talking about spending and appropriations and how this fight is going to get going within the next 2 weeks. And every time you see a major spending bill, you are going to see Republicans wedded to the notion of choking off the funding that the Obama administration needs to implement this bill. It's billions of dollars in setting up the infrastructure, setting up exchanges, doing all the things that need to be done to implement this gigantic bill. They're going to try to choke off
death
the oxygen
by a thousand
for that.
Cuts. All right,
and that's a big cut, that one. But yeah.
All right. Well, Todd, this is clearly not the most important thing going on in the world today. I mean, is the what's going happening in Egypt changing the conversation in Washington right now?
Well, Washington is pretty much focused in on the conversation going on in Egypt and wanting to know what the conversation is coming from the White House. You just heard from Khalid al-Rashidi and from Nick Kristof in the last segment, Celeste, how people want to hear what the next move is from the Army. People also want to hear what the next move is from the White House
to try to pressure the Army. Did you hear what P.J. Crowley said at the top of the show?
I missed it, John. Tell me.
State Department spokesman says, we don't know who unleashed these thugs on the streets of Cairo.
But they must be held accountable.
I mean, that just reflects a lack of understanding of what's going on.
And it may reflect that. I think it also reflects a real fear of wading in too deep before they have every single fact. Of course, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton calling up the vice president late last night, saying that the violence was shocking, sort of trying to call the government off. But then if you turn around and say, we're not positive you or Hosni Mubarak caused it in the first place, it makes a very confusing situation. People are looking for clarity from the Secretary of State and from the White House today. I think they're definitely looking for that.
All right, that's Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillich. Thanks so much, Todd.